all of the Christmas story. If you have any sort of nativity scene in your house, and we have several of them, there's always angels. Whether you have the really fancy porcelain ones that my mother collects a piece every year, and probably, you know, that took away from some of our college fund to buy these pieces every year. Whether you have that, or you have a little Fisher Price one like we have up in our living room, or whether you have one with magnets up on the wall like we also have, you're going to have angels sitting right there on top of the shed, or angels up in the sky. And when there's a Christmas pageant, how often do we see that some moms have made for the kids little angel wings to put up there? Somebody has to wear the old bathrobe as the shepherds, and somebody has the wings, and they're the angels. In so many of the songs that we sing, we hear of angels. Angels we have heard on high, angels from the realms of glory. Hark, the herald angels sing. We hear a lot about the angels, and for good reason. They play quite a pivotal role in the Christmas story. Think of all the angels. An angel appeared to Zechariah, the priest, to tell him that his wife, though she was advanced in years like him, his wife, Elizabeth, would give birth to a son, and he could scarcely believe it, that God shut his mouth until the baby was born. And then the baby came, John the Baptist, the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. Another angel appeared in a dream to Joseph. And of course, the angel appeared to the shepherds while they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. Fear not. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the peoples. And then it said, suddenly there appeared with this angel a great multitude of the heavenly host, a whole bazillion bunch of angels, roughly, in the sky, singing and praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. There's angels all over this Christmas story. And you think of all the angels did, all the angels knew, all that the angels announced, all that they witnessed, not just in this story, but throughout Scripture. You think of the seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6. The Lord, high and lifted up, exalted in the train of his robe, filling the temple. And there these angels with six wings, two to fly, two to cover their eyes, two to cover their feet. Why? Because they can scarcely look upon the one who is so holy, and they cover their feet because they are not worthy to be in the presence of one who is so holy, and they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." The angels saw that. Think of the angels. They do God's bidding. That's why Jesus can teach us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Because in heaven, the angels get it right. And God says, "Jump," and they say, "How high?" Or they say, "We can fly, we don't need to jump." But they say, he tells them to go, and they go. And he sends, and they obey. Scripture calls angels flames of fire, winds, ministering spirits, servants. There's so much we don't know about angels, and yet they are no doubt more real, more active than many of us would imagine. Did you know that verse in Hebrews that says you ought to show hospitality to strangers because by so doing, some of you may entertain angels unawares? You may have angels in your midst and not know it. Now, doesn't that put a nice little spin upon your festivities over the next week? You think, do I have to see these people? Well, one of them might be an angel. You said, no, I've lived with them long enough to know there are no angels here. Well, maybe someone wanders in. Not a bad gig to be an angel. You can't help but wonder how these Christmas assignments were chosen. Everyone's sort of maybe pushing and, me, 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 me. I need somebody to go tell Mary. Mary who? The virgin. The Isaiah virgin? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That she's going to give birth to the Christ. Me, I want to believe. Gabriel, go. Gabriel, you do everything. Okay, we need a whole multitude of the heavenly hosts, and you're going to be in the night sky outside of Bethlehem, and you're going to sing. I bet they all volunteered for that. Think of all that the angels did, all that the angels know, all that the angels announced. And yet, the passage I just read said there are things into which even angels long to look. In verse 10, it says, concerning this salvation, and that this salvation is what Peter had already talked about in verses 3 through 9. According to God's great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that we might have an inheritance in heaven that is unperishable and undefiled, kept in heaven for you, that we might obtain the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. This is the salvation, Peter says. Now, concerning this whole salvation, this story of Christ come to earth, of dead and buried and rose again, and you brought to newness of life, that through faith you might be this salvation story. He says the prophets prophesied about this grace, and they searched and inquired carefully. The prophets had foretold of this Messiah who was to come. And perhaps even the prophets knew but didn't fully know everything about the Christ who was to come. And what is this in Genesis about the seed of the woman crushing the head of the serpent? Who might that be? And the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the one who will come and be a prophet like Moses, and will be a king like David, and will be a priest after some person we barely know called Melchizedek. Who will this man be? It says in Micah, he will be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. We know that there was a promise to Abram long ago that he would be a father of many nations, and he would have a chosen seed. Who is this one that Isaiah said would be born of a virgin, would be the mighty counselor, the prince of peace, would be the stem out of the stump of Jesse? Who is this one? They searched and inquired carefully. You have prophets inquiring. You have the Spirit indicating. You have, in this passage, preachers preaching, and you have people believing as the Spirit gave utterance in Peter's day to the preachers to preach of this good news, of this gospel story, and some believed. And finally, all that had been predicted, they now knew. That's the good news. And verse 12 says, angels long to look into these things. Throughout the Bible, angels are almost always in a position to know more than humans. They deliver messages that humans have never heard of, often miraculous supernatural messages. They explain visions. They can take people away and show them things. If anyone in the created world is in the know, it's angels. That's what you want. You want to be touched by an angel. Oh, there's an idea for a show. You want to know an angel. You want Clarence to come help take care of you and help him get his wings. Some of you will watch that movie tonight. Good movie, bad theology, but just good movie. You don't look to Hollywood to tell you about angels, but just to entertain. And yet we have this verse 12. Talks about something that angels cannot completely see. It's an amazing verse. It's always stood out to me as one of the most remarkable verses in the Bible. What are these things into which angels long to look? Well, part of it is what Peter's talking about, the coming of Christ, just as the prophets wanted to see the person and the events, all that they were prophesying about. So the angels wanted to see it. This coming salvation, this return of Christ, this glorious inheritance, that may be part of what Peter's talking about, but it's not all. Because there's something else, if you see at the end of verse 12. The closest reference point to that word things is the good news that comes right before it. The good news, those are the things into which angels long to look. Yes, they want to know about the second coming of Christ and the return of Christ. It's not as if they're ignorant of the gospel, but they, as unfallen beings, do not experience the gospel as you and I can experience the gospel. They long to know what you know. I don't want to get too fanciful here, but you imagine what an angelic conversation in heaven might be like. The angels looking down, perhaps on Christmas Eve. Michael says, "Hey, Gabriel." "Yeah, Michael?" "What do you think that's like?" "What's what like?" "You know, what is it like to be saved?" "What are you talking about, Michael?" No, listen. What is it like to be a human saved by the gospel? Haven't you ever wondered? We waited all these centuries to see the unfolding of God's plan. We announced it. We predicted it. We were there. We were right in the thick of it. God's Son came, and when God's Son came, he didn't come like one of us. Not an angel, a little lower than the angels. A man. And you know, Christ is far superior to even the angels, but he skipped right by the angels. And in the incarnation, he came as a human being. Such a strange sight, don't you think? Well, sure it is, but we've all seen this, right? What more do you want to see? Well, I don't know exactly. I'm not grumbling. I'm not lacking. I just wonder. The angel says, "I just wonder, what does it feel like to be saved?" "Yeah, but Michael," Gabriel says, we know the Lord loves us. He's our creator. He delights in us. He delights in our praise and our obedience. We do his bidding. He rejoices in us." And Michael says, yeah, I know that, Gabriel. But you see, that's the thing. Of course he rejoices in us. We always do his bidding. We always go where he wants us to go. We always say what he wants us to say. We do what he wants us to do. But you look there at earth, they're never doing what he wants them to do. They're not saying what he wants them to say, going where he wants them to go. Their praise, even when they sing, it's so imperfect, it's so distracted, and yet he loves them in Christ. And Christ died for sinners like that. This great inheritance he has prepared for them. Don't you ever wonder, Gabriel? Don't you wonder what it must feel like to be so broken, so selfish, so messed up, so sinful, and then hear such good news that God has made a way to save them, to forgive them, to keep them, to guard them, to love them? Do you ever wonder, Gabriel, how sweet the good news must sound in a sinner's ear? And Gabriel says, "You know, you're right, Michael. I never thought of it that way before." We won't know. It's all according to the Master's plan, I suppose, but you can't help but wonder. What a mystery. Do they see? Do those humans know how much they're loved? Do they see how much Christ has suffered? Do they understand the glory of this salvation that the prophets inquired and the Spirit predicted and we angels were even a part of? Do they see it? Do they know it? And Michael says, "You know, Gabriel, it makes me realize how much I have to learn about God. Such a magnificent mystery that our Master went to be with them, not just to be with them, but to be one of them. And not just to be one of them so he could wipe them out, but to be one of them that he would be wiped out. Mocked, killed, spat upon. And not for the sake of the angels, Gabriel. He loves us, yes, but for the sake of those who would put him to death." Amazing, isn't it, Gabriel? How good must the gospel be to sinners? And how great is their God, that he would come to earth for their sakes. Friends, you can see more tonight than the angels have even seen. Oh, they're not ignorant. We're not pitying the angels. They understand. They live in glory and splendor and majesty. But these things, these gospel things, mercy for sinners, they long to look into these things. What must it be like? And all that the angels knew, and all that they announced, and all that they saw, and all that we sing about on this Christmas Eve, and you, through faith in Christ, can know more, see more, and have more than all that they long to know and to be and to see. You know better news than even they knew they were announcing. This babe in the straw is many things, an example, a king, a Christ, a son, but we have not understood him, and we have not understood Christmas unless we know that he is, first of all, a Savior. The angels knew what they were saying when they told Joseph, "You shall give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The angels understood that message. But you and I can see even more and experience what the angels never have. If we would but kneel and worship in faith and repentance, you would know such a marvelous mystery, such an amazing story, such glorious good news. You would see things that even angels long to look at. Let's pray. Father in heaven, may this good news not become old news to us. May it pierce us, convict us, comfort us, heal us. Whether we have loved this story for our whole lives, or we've heard it often and have forgotten and ignored it, or we are coming face to face with it for the first time, we pray that it would not just be a story, because it's not just a story, it's true, it happened. And we will all one day see this Christ. And we want to see now what even the angels long to see. We pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen.